You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome to hour two of the big broadcast. Glad you're here. You want to get involved? Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? This is Scintillating Conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. As we do at the top of every hour, we start with some headlines from the war. You know, we are, boy, on Saturday, it'll start the eighth week of this war. Seems like only yesterday we were at peace and the Strait of Hormuz was open and there was no threat of any sort of nuclear attack from Iran. Guess what? There's still no threat. Well, it's increased now probably because of the war, but that's just speculation. Anyway, here are the headlines. U.S. President Donald Trump said there is no deadline for ending the war with Iran, the ceasefire, or Tehran's response to his request for a peace proposal. So welcome to whatever. This is could go on. Maybe it stops. Who knows? Nothing permanent. No real plan, just like from the beginning. Iran's president said the U.S. blockade on Iranian ports is a major obstacle to talks. The blockade is also what is preventing the Strait of Hormuz from reopening. Iran's top negotiator said that the other day. Tehran has received its first revenue from tolls that it's imposed on ships passing through the strait, that according to Iranian media. And we've been saying this all along. It's very hard to negotiate when somebody has a military blockade on you just because they underestimated your response. They don't like now that you're making money off of something that they basically caused, they being us, the United States. So unless he's willing to pull that blockade, I don't see how Iran is going to negotiate in good faith. They also have the track record of we were negotiating with them when we bombed them. So they got that. The U.S. will host a second round of talks between the Middle Eastern neighbors of Iran and Lebanon today amid the, Israel and Lebanon today, amid the fragile ceasefire in Lebanon that has seen attacks by Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah. And finally, oil prices are rising today. After after President Trump said there was no deadline for ending the war with Iran, well, as you can imagine, boom, that quashed hopes of an imminent resolution to the conflict. Brent crude, which was my radio name in my shock jock era. Yes, that's also my band name. But yeah, Brent crude in the morning. It was horrible. A lot of slide whistles. And anyway, the global oil benchmark is up 1.9% at nearly $104 a barrel. That's on track for the fourth consecutive day of gains. WTI, the U.S. benchmark, is up a similar margin at $94.6 a barrel. If you're trying to keep track of oil prices, you're going to make yourself very dizzy. All week it has been up and down, staying a little below 100, now going back over 100. For some reason, the stock market is still doing very well. So make sense to me. If you're in that industry, I have no idea what that means. But that's enough of the Middle East. Now there's some more stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
This coming from right down 94 in Milwaukee, the federal government agreed to pay over $880,000 in rent each year for Milwaukee's new U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement offices on the city's northwest side. That's for about 18,000 square feet of usable space and 49 parking spots at a single-story building in an office park on Westlake Park Drive. ICE is set to occupy the south side of the building and the southern half of the parking lot. I don't know if we should be giving out where they're going to be parking their cars, but I did because it was in the news story. So that's that. The northern half of the office building has been undergoing renovations to become a U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Counseling Office, or VET Center. The $881,000, $627,000 annual rent does not appear to include that half of the building. So we have that money to pay the rent every month, but we don't have money to pay. Anyway, you get the picture. The rent amount is listed on the lease obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel through an open records request for all leases in the building. It was signed in August of 2024. The current ICE office building is located on Knapp Street, downtown Milwaukee. The federal government has leased that building since 1999. The downtown ICE office does not commonly hold people overnight. Available public information indicates the new office would be similar. So in general, in Wisconsin, ICE detainees are held at the Dodge County Jail. Some local sheriff's offices agree to hold inmates in their jails for a handful of days while they wait for ICE agents to pick up their inmates. In other SU need to know, Wisconsin Supreme Court weighs whether voter eligibility records should be made public. The court is considering whether records relating to people found incompetent to vote should be made available to the public. That question stems from a lawsuit filed by a conservative activist who was involved in reviewing the 2020 presidential election and has contended that ineligible voters cast ballots that cost President Trump the election that year. Keep going after that election. Justice has heard oral arguments in the case weighing whether guardianship records provided to the Wisconsin Election Commission are considered public records and should therefore be subject to public record disclosure law. The case emerged from an effort by Ron Heuer and the group he founded, Wisconsin Voter Alliance, to gain access to, quote, notices of voting eligibility, end quote. Those are circuit court-sanctioned determinations that a person is no longer able to cast a ballot, often for reasons of health or disability. So Eric Cardle, an attorney for Heuer, said his group argued that it's possible to balance privacy concerns with the public's right to access government records by redacting, identifying, or sensitive information in the competency forms. Wisconsin state law says its incompetency records are closed court documents, but subject to access under certain circumstances, including if a court orders it. Now, the fact that an individual has been found incompetent and the name of and contact information for the guardian is accessible to any person who demonstrates to the custodian of the records the need for that information. That is the state law, verbatim. Now, Justice Rebecca Dallet, one of the court's liberal justices, asked Cardle whether the need to redact information in the forms means that they are, by definition, personal documents that aren't subject to public record laws. That is a very good question. On the opposing side, attorney Samuel Hall said that while records custodians cannot consider a person's intention when evaluating records requests, the activist's redaction argument didn't square with their stated goal of cross-checking ineligible voters against voter rolls. How long are we going to keep re-legislating and investigating the 2020 election? We're 6 years down the road. The guy litigating it is in power again. This is the kind of pettiness and waste of not only time and money that makes people furious. Even some Republicans now are like, enough. This is, and they're rightly saying the nonstop investigation and relitigation of the 2020 election is causing harm down the ticket because people are tired of this. Over 60 court decisions that say there was no irregularities. The data that shows voter fraud is minuscule. All of the things that we've been talking about for 6 years that you and I and even Republicans are getting tired of hearing about, and yet they keep bringing it up for one man's fragile ego and inability to accept defeat. It is tiring, it is frustrating, and in the end, it will be part of the downfall of Republicans in office because people just don't want to hear it anymore. All right, there's other stuff you need to know. Pentagon Navy Secretary John Phelan is leaving. He is the latest departure in a line of top defense leaders. Navy Secretary John Phelan is leaving his job, the Pentagon abruptly announced yesterday. The first head of a military service department during President Trump's second term, but just the latest top defense leader to step down or be ousted. No reason was given for the unexpected departure of the Navy's top civilian official. coming as the sea service has imposed a blockade of Iranian ports and is targeting ships linked to Tehran around the world during a tenuous ceasefire in the war. Phelan's departure is the latest in a series of shakeups of top leadership at the Pentagon, just weeks after Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth fired the Army's top uniformed officer, General Randy George. Hegseth has also fired other top generals, admirals, and other defense leaders since taking office last year. Do you think there's a chance that perhaps Navy Secretary John Phelan was not in favor of the blockade, was calling for it to be pulled for in an effort to move the ceasefire and the negotiations forward? I don't know that for sure. It seems logical, because anytime you question the antics of this administration or question the pronouncements of Pete Hegseth, you seem to disappear. You're gone. Showing how sudden the latest move was, Phelan, the day before, had addressed a large crowd of sailors and industry professionals at the Navy's annual conference in Washington, and he spoke with reporters about his agenda. Now, Pentagon spokesman Sam Parnell said in a social media post that Phelan was, quote, departing the administration effective immediately, and that Undersecretary Hung Cao will become acting secretary. Very strange. Very strange timing indeed. All right, let's turn our attention closer to home. I know Parker is revving up for this. Madison is girding their loins for the Mifflin Street Block Party. Are you going to the Mifflin Street Block Party?
I'm not. I'm going to a brewer game, actually, on Saturday.
Okay, see? And I was not familiar with the Mifflin Street Block Party until
really?
A couple of years ago. Well, okay. Yeah, what am I?
Wow.
Creepy old man who hangs around a college block party?
Yeah.
No, I'm not Quagmire.
It's a big party. I would be surprised that you hadn't spotted it.
It sounds like it's fun. If you don't know, the Mifflin Street Block Party is scheduled for Saturday, and Madison officials yesterday laid out a series of warnings and plans pertaining to the annual and unsanctioned bacchanalia. That's why I would go, because it's a bacchanalia. It traditionally occurs near the end of the UW-Madison spring semester. Central District Police Captain Kip Hartman said about 10,000 people are expected to attend the event that centers on the two blocks between Broome and Bedford Streets. More than 150 Madison police officers plus officers from the Dane County Sheriff's Office and UW-Madison Police will be there to meet them, he said. Hello. Madison Police also will have its horse-mounted unit on scene and will keep an eye on the goings-on from above with drones. How many drunk girls are going to try to pet the horsey?
All of them.
I love horses.
My question is, how many of them are going to try to pet the leg of the guy riding the horse?
Hello.
Because that happens.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
You get some wild videos out of Mifflin, Brian.
Oh, I can't wait. Maybe Parker, if you weren't going to the game, we'd have you man on the street.
Oh, boy.
Hartman urged residents of the area to park their vehicles elsewhere, put up no trespassing signs, and lock up their valuables because, quote, in past years, we've seen damage to vehicles and valuables stolen from homes. The fire department in Madison is going to be well represented as well. They are going to be out there. They're saying that in order to encourage people to get help if they need it, they are not going to be writing tickets for underage drinking, which that's like, hey, guess what? You can do whatever you want. I know the reason they're doing it, but man, that seems a little bit crazy. So if you call 911, they're not going to write you underage drinking tickets, which is good. Usually if it's raining or cold, that kind of tamps it down a little bit. Saturday's forecast, sunny and a high of 66. Perfect bacchanalia weather. So that is stuff you need to know. I know it's going to be crazy. Going to be crazy. When we come back, it is Swipe or Stay. Stick around. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. This is where we kind of move away from politics and craziness, and we go into the craziness of the celebrity universe with our executive producer, Frank. Frank, we're looking forward to it Thursday. You've been bringing the heat all week. Heat continue?
Have I?
Well, you've downplayed some of your own efforts.
We've had some good stuff.
I build you up. That's my job.
No, I think today we are bringing the heat today. All so right. Welcome into Swipe or Save. If you've never listened before, I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Parker today are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more about the story or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, I get to be the tiebreaker, and you'll most likely just hear the story anyway.
There you go.
So here we go. Story number one, Ticketmaster busts large-scale ticket scalpers.
Ooh, I want to hear this. Stay.
Yeah, I like a story about bringing justice. We're staying.
Yeah.
Hey, how about Ticketmaster? Finally yeah. did something good.
Wow.
Impressive.
Allegedly. Right. I don't know. Look, they put out this statement. I'm going to say allegedly.
Okay.
It is confirmed by them. I just haven't done my own.
By them.
I want to do my own research.
Believe us, Frank. We're telling the
right.
truth.
So they announced that they investigated and busted ticket scalpers with multiple fake identities, accounts, and bots with tickets to see Harry Styles at Madison Square Garden for his residency, which, as everybody knows, is a very hot ticket. These tickets were then released back to the general public with the most expensive ticket at face value at $130. Now,
wow. Now, that's the most expensive Harry. That is a That's good.
Of the tickets that were busted.
Oh, the ticket that were busted.
The president of Ticketmaster did go on to say that most ticket scalpers buy up all the seats that are affordable
sure
to the
do.
Average fan because it's they can mark it up easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an easy profit margin. As somebody
That's great,
who,
though, if they've been released.
Right. As somebody who had to join in on this chaos and is going to see Harry Styles at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Oh, baby.
Flex. Wow. I know.
Yeah, you're
Third time seeing him. Who'd have thought?
Not you.
You didn't understand him the
not
first
me.
Two times?
Not me. I can tell you that.
Wow.
Very hard ticket to get. I'm really happy to see that this is true and maybe some real fans will actually be at the show because nobody wants to battle ticket scalpers every time they want to go
see
anything.
Yeah, that's good
so
news.
So if you're out there listening and you're a ticket scalper, I hate you.
Yeah.
Moving on.
You're a garbage human.
Yeah.
You are. We have a Joe Exotic update.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God. Stay.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know how you guys would feel about Joe Exotic. Oh, my God.
It's dumb, but it's interesting.
It is dumb, but it's interesting. But Joe Exotic captured our hearts during the height of the COVID. He did. During the height
heart.
Of COVID, Brian, Joe Exotic was the man.
Dude, I watched that first season of Tiger King. I didn't watch the second, but the first one we were glued to like everybody else.
The Tiger King, Joe Exotic, has been thrown into solitary confinement in prison.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Allegedly, for social media posts.
Really?
The Tiger King's... Yeah, oh yeah. Hold on. I'm going to get to it. The Tiger Kings. Joe Exotic's attorney, Peter Ticton, tells TMZ that Joe has been placed in the special housing unit at his federal prison in Texas since last week. He goes on to say Joe was disciplined after social media posts were shared online on his behalf because he can't post them himself.
Wow.
Though it's right now, we're not sure if there was a specific message that pissed off the warden. I think of like Shawshank Redemption. Like what made them mad, but it's actually hilarious that Joe Exotic is getting somebody to post for him on the down low.
It's probably him still begging Trump for a pardon.
Which I can't believe. You know what? You pardon everybody else. You couldn't pardon Joe Exotic.
You
gotta
throw one to Joe Exotic.
Come on.
That is the craziest story. All right.
Moving on, Hollywood director admits that he's wrong for trying to change this popular movie's ending.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. I want to stay on this.
I'm going to swipe.
I like movies. All right, Frank,
I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay because I think Brian's going to like this one. Jon Favreau has admitted that he was wrong for trying to convince the Russo brothers to change the ending of Avengers Endgame.
Oh,
really?
Now, spoiler alert, and if you haven't seen Endgame by now, it's your own fault.
Yeah, that's...
But Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, dies at the end, and Jon Favreau, who started the Iron Man franchise and basically the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe... felt like that was hit like that was his baby, right?
Yeah.
And you have another director going in and killing him at the end of the movie. So he was really heartbroken about it. So he was on Jimmy Kimmel and said, I talked to the Russos. I said, I don't know if people are going to like, I don't know. It's really going to impact people because they were kids that grew up with the Iron mm-hmm. Man character. He said, but I have to tell you, it was handled so well by them. And Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr. did such a wonderful job acting. And I think it added poignancy to it. They did a wonderful job. I was wrong. Brian, looking back on it, do you think it was the right decision to kill off Iron Man?
Yes, because if you look, Iron Man dies, Captain America goes on and ages and has his ending. It was the end of that chapter of the Marvel Universe. So, yes, I think it was the exact right decision. I thought the movie ended great. I am in agreement with Jon Favreau that he was wrong. Listen, I grew up reading Iron Man comics and Avengers comics, and the whole thing was very close to my heart. And that movie killed me at the end with Captain America sitting on the bench, mm-hmm. and I was devastated. I walked out of the theater numb.
You're a big Captain America guy.
Yeah, and Iron Man, when Iron Man died, I was very, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, it was, yeah, but yeah. They made.
Did you have the same thought every other masculine man sitting in the theater had was, oh my God, am I really going to cry at the end of this movie?
I said, yeah, it's
a
superhero
movie. Am I getting choked
up? Yep. No, but then I was like, well, these characters I have been part of my life since I was a little kid, riding my bike to White Hen to buy the comic books. So, yes. Frank, another great job.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we'll do the same thing. 7:20 every morning, we play Swipe or Stay. When we come back, will you be watching the draft tonight? A lot of football news.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back to Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back with us on Monday. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Got two topics on the table. One is breaking news that we are going to get to, and I want to get your reaction to a reclassification of cannabis on the federal level. If you are an aficionado, this could be good news. Going to be good news across the country, but it may also lead to good news here in Wisconsin. So this coming out about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, President Trump's acting attorney general this morning signed an order reclassifying state-licensed medical marijuana as a less dangerous drug, a major policy shift long sought by activists who said cannabis should never have been treated like heroin by the federal government. The order signed by Todd Blanche does not legalize marijuana for medical or recreational use under U.S. law, but it does change the way it is regulated, shifting licensed medical marijuana from Schedule 1, reserved for drugs without medical use and with high potential for abuse, to the less strictly regulated Schedule 3. It also gives licensed medical marijuana operators a major tax break and eases some barriers to researching cannabis. So that is good news because on a medical marijuana basis, we have seen the positive effects that cannabis can have on cancer patients, on all different kinds of people with pain, arthritis, everything. So this is a long time coming. And again, I will take the win, but I also, being cynical as I am, look at this and say, another attempt to curry favor with certain voters prior to the midterms. But no matter what it is, people will see through any sort of duplicitousness and say that this is good news for people who need cannabis to manage their pain and help them with the horrible diseases that they're dealing with. So there you go. We'll keep you updated if anything changes on that throughout the morning. But let's turn our attention to the NFL, especially the green and gold, the Green Bay Packers. The draft, the NFL draft starts today. Now, the Packers will not be picking until tomorrow, but a lot going on today. And we'll start with bad news. It's not draft related, but it is 100% Packers related. Lovell Ives, the influential University of Wisconsin Green Bay music professor, whose reach in the community spanned Green Bay Packers games at Lambeau Field to the CP Telethon, has died. He passed away April 11th at his home in Rib Lake. He was 97. He was an instrumental member of the music faculty at the university. And the biggest deal is, of all the accomplishments in his life, one of his greatest was creating and composing the tune Go Pack Go. Do you have some of that, Parker?
Give me a second. Oh, I thought you'd be all ready. Will. Sorry, I was looking at the NFL theme musics.
Oh, we don't. Yeah. So he loved being a part of the organization. He was so proud to give that gift, according to his obituary. He also led the UWG, University of Wisconsin Green Bay Marching Band, and composed the school's Phoenix Fight song. And it's him like alma mater, but Go Pack Go is the one that everybody knows. All right, we got to cut that, Parker. Frank's starting. I see him throwing up
starting
in his mouth
twitch.
A little bit. Yeah, he's getting it. So R.I.P. Love Alive's the composer and writer of Go Pack Go. Lyrically, not a stretch, but it does. It's very good, and I'm not.
You know, it caught on, Brian.
It did catch on. And it is a sad day, but his music and Go Pack Go will live on forever. So that's good news. Anyway, all right. So the draft starts today, boys. It's in Pittsburgh, PA. Beautiful downtown Pittsburgh, PA. Begins at 7 o'clock tonight, Central Time. It's on the north shore of Pittsburgh at Point State Park, which is, there's three rivers, as you know, in Pittsburgh. They all coalesce and all merge right at the Point State Park, which is a beautiful park. You look to your, depending on which way you're standing in the park, you see not only the Steelers Park, you see PNC Ballpark, you see it all. It's, man, oh, man, it's a beautiful little spot there. So day two, when the Packers start, that is tomorrow. It starts at 6 p.m. All right, now, Parker, you got to be excited about this. You're a resident sports guy currently. Frank is a sports guy 100%. Used to work at sports stations, program sports stations. A lot of hot takes. I can't wait.
Member of the Pro Football Writers of America. Thank you.
Is that right?
Incredibly jealous.
True story.
Of that.
That's wild.
That's very cool.
Now, that's a legit flex.
Yeah. Thank you.
So people know that when you spout off, you got a little weight behind you.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking physically.
I feel like I've been out of the game for a couple of years, but I'm getting back into it.
There you go, especially now. So the Packers have, let's see, what do they have? 2, 4, 6, 8 picks.
Yeah.
Only one in the second round. That's the 52nd pick. Then they've got one in the third round, one in the fourth, two in the fifth, and two in the sixth, and one in the seventh round. That's their compensatory pick. So this is all they got. They got their second rounder, right, Parker? Because they gave up.
Yeah, it turns out when you trade for Micah Parsons, you don't get to pick in the first round for a while. Lofty price, okay. Which I'm fine.
That how
with.
That works?
It is how that works usually. Yeah,
you get marquee players cost.
They do. That's what they're telling me. Yeah. So
I guess the question, Parker,
yes.
Looking back on it, would you still make that deal?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to hear any boo-hooing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not boo-hooing. I don't care. I'm just saying. That's the price.
But, Parker, since you're the Packers fan,
yeah, you're the
guy. I would ask this question to everybody, 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. What is on your wish list for this Packers team? We're at the NFL draft. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick, but they do have 8 picks in total. They can still make some trades. Is there anything that's high on your wish list? And, Parker, I would go with you first,
yeah,
since you're obligated to speak on this show.
Yes.
Oh, it's an obligation now. I don't know.
Yep.
What is high on your wish list for the Packers?
I would definitely like to see, and I don't have any names, I'm unfortunately sorry about that.
That's okay.
You can have names tomorrow.
I definitely want to see some kind of reinforcement to the defensive line, but I think cornerback is the place that the Packers will really focus. Kind of bread and butter for the Packers that need a cornerback. That's kind of a tale old as time, it feels.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think part of that is when you look at the quarterbacks around the division.
Yeah.
You've got Caleb Williams, who's coming into his own.
Yes, he is.
You've got 9 out in Minnesota. 9. Look out for him. Good old J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, J.J. McCarthy. What a guy. Yeah.
But you also have Jared Goff, who's no slouch. And I know we like to make fun of the Lions, but Jared Goff and the Lions have been scary outside of last year. And I still think they can be a good team.
Yeah, they definitely have. And we just got a text from Chris in Waterloo talking about both the O-line and D-line. Maybe a running back is what the Packers should be going for. 100% agree.
Wow.
Offensive line could always use a little bit of help. That is also a very Packers thing to do, is draft
the
big fellas.
That was going to be my suggestion, because over the last number of years working in Wisconsin and following the Packers more regularly than I ever thought I would, the O-line is always a concern because people are always getting hurt. It's the same concern pretty much every team has. I know the Bears have that same concern. Last year, their O-line looked a little better. But the offensive line, you got to protect your quarterback. You just have to.
Yeah, I mean, I look at offensive linemen like I view relief pitchers in baseball, where it's like, if you ask every single team, their answer is, yeah, we just got to strengthen up the bullpen for our late postseason run.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's no matter what team you talk to, any fan of any team, they're like, yeah, once our bullpen really comes into their own. It's the same thing with offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You need depth. I mean, these are guys that are getting hit every single play. You get rolled, you get your ankles rolled up on.
Yep.
Injuries happen all the time.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to
O-line depth is so key.
Yeah.
Mike Clemens is going to join us tomorrow morning at 8:30, and we're going to talk about the first picks for the Packers, or the first pick for the Packers, which is happening tomorrow night. We'll talk some more X's and O's about the draft. But I have to, this is exciting for me as a second-generation Irishman. Ireland is going to play a huge part in the Packers draft this weekend in Pittsburgh, because the Packers International Fan of the Year, Stephen O'Brien, is from County Wicklow in Ireland, just like the Packers punter Daniel Whalen, also a native of County Wicklow. So the Irish are going to be well represented because, you know, the draft is starting this weekend. So Irish singer-songwriter Gavin James is going to take part alongside young musicians from the Institute playing the traditional Irish harp. The group will add an Irish touch, performing ESPN's iconic The Pick Is In chime as the broadcast cuts to the Green Bay pick, followed by a harp rendition of Go Pack Go. So Ireland getting crazy representation. Each team has an International Fan of the Year. They'll attend the draft in Pittsburgh, where the ultimate International Fan of the Year will be named. O'Brien will announce a Packers pick from the draft stage, as did last year's International Fan Matthias Kraus of Germany. He was at the draft in Green Bay. So you might wonder, well, who's this Stephen O'Brien? Why does he get to be the International Fan of the Year for the Packers? Well, because he's the founder and major domo of the UK and Irish Packers Group. It was launched in 2013, and it might be the largest Packers group in Europe. O'Brien's podcast certainly is the largest Packers podcast and possibly second largest NFL podcast in all of the UK.
Really?
So, wow. Yes. See?
Go Pack Go.
I can do research too, boys.
Packers everywhere, boys.
Wow. You can, Brian. I never doubted you for a second.
Lies. So, no, but that just caught my eye. I was like, oh, look at this, the Irish. I love when the Irish are involved. I'm unapologetically a booster of all things Ireland. So that is going to be really cool to see. And a fitting tribute to Lovell Ives, who I bet they will mention when they begin to do the Harper rendition of Go Pack Go. Which I think, Parker, are you looking forward to that? That sounds like it'll be very touching.
Yeah, that could be really neat. There's some really neat stuff. The draft, to me, the most fun thing is kind of seeing the fan interactions, and that's kind of one of those things right there. It's just really cool to see how that they can be involved. I was at the draft last year. A couple of my college buddies and I in student media, we got credentials. So we actually got to do stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah. And
all right,
as we were
walking
around, I think we're talking about fans of the year earlier. I think we met 7 fans of the year, like international fans of the years, because each team has one and they all end up there. So we met a ton of them. Ton of guys from Germany, I noticed. A lot of football fans in Germany.
With
I
the NFL having games in Germany now.
Yeah.
I think that plays a huge part. Same with the UK.
And it was Green Bay, Wisconsin, a lot of brats, German sausages. So that
Parker, let me ask you, after meeting these fans of the year, do you walk away going, wow, that's a really cool person? Or do you go, wow, that dude's nuts? 50-50 split?
One of them gave us a business card.
What was the business?
It was like, I'm the German Packer.
It was like, shut up. That's really it?
Yeah.
Do you still have the card?
The draft. I could see it for the draft. That would be.
Why aren't we
cool.
calling him up?
I don't know.
Put your producer hat on, Parker. What are we doing?
Frank, will you please school this guy?
Hey, we'll get him in tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, there's been misconduct in the public schools in Wisconsin. I'm trying to get some of that fixed. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Newton on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. Glad you are with us. It is Thursday. This is Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back next week. Now that we have all that out of the way, real quick, I just want to remind you to go check out our new social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. You can also download podcasts. If you miss any segment or any episode, you can go to Spotify. Just search for Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Subscribe to that podcast, and we will be in your feed. And then we will be in your head. So do that and download the free Civic Media app, because that'll allow you to take us everywhere. There's all the things that make us accessible, and we appreciate you doing all of them and taking us along or just following and telling your friends about the show. We've seen a lot of and heard a lot of reports in recent years about sexual misconduct in schools. We've heard about them in Wisconsin. We've heard about them across the country. And it's troubling that we're hearing more stories. But on the flip side, it's good that things are being reported and people are being held accountable. Well, that's kind of what happened on Capitol Hill or at the state capitol yesterday. Senator Steve Nass was pressing Superintendent Jill Underly on how she planned to address educator sexual misconduct and grooming in Wisconsin. He said to her, "You've been in office about 4.5 years." He's a Republican, of course, from Whitewater. He told her during a public hearing last fall, "Without that Cap Times article, I don't think we'd be here today." Legislator called the hearing with Underly 3 weeks after the Capital Times revealed the Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 educators accused of sexual misconduct and grooming. That is astonishing that many reports. The reporting showed the department fell short of investigative steps and transparency measures that abuse prevention advocates say would better protect children. In response to the Cap Times story, Wisconsin lawmakers held 3 hearings questioning top education officials, ordered an audit of the department's practices, and passed laws to close loopholes and prevent students from being abused by teachers and others. I misspoke. The hearing was not yesterday. The hearings were in the fall, but they led to this, and this was all a result of reporting in the Cap Times. This is what responsible journalism and investigative journalism looks like. It shines a light on issues and then results in action from that. And so congrats to the Cap Times on this story. So here are some of the new laws that passed because of their reporting. And this is an example of not being afraid to go where people don't want you to go. I'm sure the Department of Public Education did not want all of this out in the open. Not that they were covering it up, but just that they were dealing with it. But because it came to light, these laws came into effect. Criminalizing grooming a child for sexual activity, which I can't believe was not a crime prior to that. Requiring schools to adopt policies on appropriate communication and to train staff on recognizing grooming. Ban schools from entering into non-disclosure agreements with employees investigated for misconduct. Require the Department of Public Instruction to maintain an online searchable database that shows the outcomes of misconduct investigations and identifies educators who lost their licenses. These are all good. State Representative Amanda Nadusky, she's a Republican from Pleasant Prairie, authored three of the bills signed by the governor, said the Cap Times reporting on educator misconduct proved absolutely critical to getting these bills over the finish line. Yes, because now it is not a partisan issue. It is a child safety issue. It is a public safety issue, which everybody should be able to get behind. But sometimes we don't know about those issues until there is strong reporting from a place like the Cap Times. Jill Underley backed some of the proposals, like defining grooming in the state law, while defending the Department of Public Instruction's work investigating misconduct. She vowed to increase transparency and began publishing more information about educators who lost their licenses before lawmakers mandated those disclosures. Yeah, if you are a school district anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country, quite frankly, to be able to look up a database. Now, if somebody... No, I'm not going to qualify it. If you've lost your license for one of these reasons, you deserve always to have that follow you. I never want you back in a school. If you have been found guilty of one of these crimes, if you're grooming, if you're having inappropriate conversations, if you're, God forbid, having inappropriate contact with a student, you should never be allowed to teach again. And you should never be allowed to mislead another district just because they can't check. Because we all know, if somebody calls for references, you can't actually say, no, Parker was a horrible employee because, one time he unplugged the board and then he flipped the host off during a broadcast. We can't say any of that. Can't say it. We can just say, yes, Parker worked at Civic Media from this date to this date. That's all they can say. Well, now you can't hide. And I don't want these people to be able to hide. If you have a child, you obviously don't want anything to happen to them. And if you're a teacher, all the teachers I've met, all the teachers I've worked with, want nothing but the best for their students. Can the kids be annoying sometimes? Yes, and teachers are human, but they have no tolerance for inappropriate behavior. And so I think the people who perpetrate those heinous acts need to be uncovered and exposed and never let in a school building again. So good for them. If you are listening on WMDX, I'm sorry, but you have to go. Not my choice. I'd love you to stay. And you can stay. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Facebook. You could go to the free Civic Media app, and you can listen to the final hour of the show. If not, you can enjoy Stephanie Miller on WMDX. Everybody else on the network, hey, guess what? You're stuck with me, and I don't think that's a bad thing. So if you are listening in Appleton and Oshkosh, Hayward, Eau Claire, Richland Center, don't worry. We'll be back with more headlines and a lot more to come because... as I watch the clock so Parker doesn't yell at me. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.